News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WEUVR. Welcome back to our program with George Neuwert of GMN Construction in Sunapee and Trusted Rentals Automotive in Newport. We've been talking about the trades the last couple weeks. Some details on resources that you can go to, especially the Trade Center in Raymond and the website
Grand
over
State
there.
Trade School, yep.
Yeah, Grand Estate Trade School. And this week we're just going to kind of continue the conversation a little more freeform today. But yeah, so what do you want to talk about today?
Chat about today. Okay. Yeah. So today is kind of the least scripted show. I have no phone in front of me and I have no notes in front of me. So it's just kind of talking about the sixth element of the trade situation out there, and that is contracting. So
the one that you do.
The one I do. So no. I'm a general contractor. So my history in contracting, as I've said before, started off as in finish work. So I started off doing landscaping work, and then landscaping transitioned to a builder, and the builder taught me how to do some framing and masonry and that kind of thing. And then I worked for another builder, and then that builder had me doing finish work. I was the stair. I did all the stairs, interior window trim and all that. And then went to Bill Ostrom's, and then there was a foreman there, Eugene, that taught me how to frame better because I was so frustrated doing finish work, cutting out pieces of drywall, and things were framed in such a way that care was not taken for the next person to come behind you. And I kind of thought of that as kind of a life lesson, like how many things are we doing today that either require to or necessitate a person coming in behind you to either finish up, make better, mop up, make worse, whatever it is you did, like what footprint do you have and who's coming in behind you? So it kind of was an interesting life lesson.
Yeah.
But if you think about the contracting trades, like a general contractor, that is also a viable option for people like getting in the trades. But, you know, general contractors are, when you say the word general contractor, a general contractor is a person who's versed with and experienced with all the trades. So he's general, meaning that the knowledge base is diverse enough so that when it comes to being able to put a project together from, say, a raw piece of land, somebody wants to build a house, how do you develop a piece of land in such a way that creates a finished product? And that's kind of in the realm of general contracting.
Yeah, I always kind of wondered what a general contractor actually was. I mean, I know what they, you know, I know that it's like, okay, you need a general contractor to, you know, set up a project or whatever, but I can never understand like what they actually did.
Yeah.
Like other than like, you know, just managing the project as a whole.
Basically just a coordinator. Like if you're, so there's two different types of general contractors. There's the type like I am, where I have employees and my employees are diverse. And I pay a good wage and I have benefits. I pay almost 100% medical cost depending on who the person is. So basically, I give a $500 a month credit to each person. And that's regardless of whether you're in the construction company or the rental company. So I have employees. I have decided, basically, my business has been patterned after Bill Ostrom. And the pattern of the business is employees, keep things in-house, sub out as little as possible. Basically, all we do is sub out the license trade, electrical, plumbing, not heating. Heating's not really licensed. Gas work. A lot of times we do our own insulation and we have our own drywaller on staff, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So the employee structure is where a ringleader, which I consider myself, coordinates jobs and procedures for the people to do. And the hierarchy is me. I have a job foreman, Wade, who's on a job in Sunapee right now. And then I have Josh, who is my company project manager. So Wade has one job in his view and Josh has five or six jobs in his view. So myself, Josh, Wade, and then the employees in various stages of skill and capability. So when it comes to what we do, the general and general contractor is a coordinator. The other business model that is popular is where a general contractor, say like North Cape Design or, you know, Old Hampshire Designs from New London, like they are a general contractor in which they coordinate subcontractors. So they themselves have very few employees and their employees are basically job managers. The manager is the one that rides around in his truck, does the communicating, checks on the jobs, makes sure that the progress is what the subcontractor says. For instance, if a subcontractor submits a bill for 50% done, you know, the the job super, the job manager, that is the employee of the contractor, make sure that the level of work performed is commensurate with how much they're getting paid. So
interesting.
You know, so there's two formats. So the GC is, in my situation, is employees, which I like this format. And then the other business model is subcontractors. So for instance, if two general contractors with two business models were attacking the same project, I would basically do everything myself. I clear the land. I have all the heavy equipment operators and the heavy equipment to put the road in and put culverts in and dig the foundation and take it right from, we have chippers, so we lease equipment from the rental company, Trusted Rentals, and we use that equipment to help support the business. Whereas if you were a general contractor with the subcontractor business model, then you would hire out, you know, the person comes in to clear the land, you know, that's it, done. Mm-hmm. Then somebody comes in to put the driveway in, and somebody comes in to dig the cellar hole, or the same person, you know, usually the site work is bid by one person. And then you basically put the project together in pieces, and everything's compartmentalized. You have the tree clearing, the earthwork, you have the foundation, you have the framing, you have the heating, you have the cooling, the AC. Sometimes it's combined. HVAC can be combined, heating, air, and conditioning. Air conditioning can be combined as one subcontractor, but there are divisions of subcontractors that will do either one or both. Then you have gas fitting. You have insulation is a quote. Drywall is a quote. Interior trim is a quote. Flooring is a quote.
Yeah.
Roofing is a quote. You know, right. Everything's a quote. And So all you do is you put all these pieces together. You apply a markup, which can be anywhere from 10 to 40%. You apply a markup to it, and the general contractor hands a customer, they hand them a proposal and says, well, this is how much it's going to cost to build your house, Mrs. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And in my particular situation, we have budgets. So we say, okay, the tree work budget's going to be this, depending on the extent of clearing. Sometimes you want to clear a football field size, and sometimes you want to just maximize your money for other things and just clear the portion where the house is. And so my system kind of gives people the freedom and flexibility of being in more control of the project and having more control of changing things along the way. So I've kind of settled into the system.
Yeah. Is it like pretty typical for a general contractor to actually be working alongside his crew like on this project, or is it more of just kind of like an oversight kind of thing generally?
So it's kind of funny. That's a neat observation, because regardless of whether you are a GC with the subcontractor model or with the employee model, I know of like Brian Carey, for instance, from New London, great builder, and he employs people in a general contractor relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what his structure, but I know he's on the job every day. Like I see as he's doing a house on Lake Avenue right now, and I've always appreciated that about him. I mean, the bottom line is if you want something to turn out a certain way,
might as well be involved in
might
it.
Might as well be there.
Yeah.
You know, because you can sit there after the fact and point fingers all you want, but, you know, to be there and to exercise that level of control is awesome. But I don't know whether he has two or three houses going on at the same time, but there is a certain volume of work in which you cannot be on the job every day.
Like, yeah, it makes sense.
You can't.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I was on the job for a little while, a couple hours, just to get the guys going, what they're doing. Today, I was on the job this morning to make sure that I knew where we ended up yesterday and how much work was left, what the timing was, how much time these guys had to do for this and this to finish up from yesterday, and then how much time they needed today to complete this project. So, but then I had to go to my office at my house and I had to write a proposal for additional work that the customer wanted done. Like, okay, George, we want to add this to this.
Right.
How much do you think that's going to cost? And it was a fairly lengthy proposal. So sometimes I have to bug out because we have a storm coming.
Right.
And my guys are like, you know, we could use that as indoor work. That would be awesome if we could do that. The proposal happens to be an indoor addition of a bathroom and skylights and a roof and that kind of thing. And it's one of those things where, you know, if I get my proposal out and I make the customer know, if I help the customer understand what exactly that we're going to do for the money, it's not a bid, it's still by the hour, but it is a budget, helps us plan for inclement weather and being inside when it matters.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess where I'm going with this is that from the standpoint of to try to stay on the same theme as the trades, in the previous shows, we've talked about cookie cutter kind of things. Like you want to be an electrician, you want to be a plumber, you want to be a gas fitter, you want to be a heating specialist, or you want to be an air conditioning specialist. Like these are all things where I tried to paint a picture, tried to present information that is, you know, from a guy who has a lot of experience with these things, is viable alternative to four-year plans and four-year colleges, mm-hmm. and tried to expand upon the financial implication of the education process and also the financial implication of the income potential. And, you know, it's fascinating when you look at these things and you're like, you know, I can be an electrician with an apprentice or two, and my business can make $500,000.
Right.
Like, it's not that difficult as an electrician or a plumber to have $1 million business. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it really isn't. Because you have like a 4 years training to get to journeyman.
Right.
And then you have to wait a year, I think you said.
Correct.
And then you can become a master electrician.
Yep.
And then you can hire a couple of new apprentices on under you.
Exactly. And so you're taking these apprentices and you're charging them out. Let's say you pay them $25 an hour and you're charging them out at $60 or $70 an hour. So you're making profit on them.
Yeah.
And then you're making profit on markup on materials, like you sell an electrical panel to a customer or just the wire that goes in the building, the boxes, like all your hardware stuff that goes in, you charge a markup on between 10 and 30%. So if an electrical panel costs you $100, you charge the customer $120 or $125 or $130. And these markup amounts are used to pay for fuel and insurance and repairs on your vehicles and clothing and all the little things that get burnt up while you're in the employ of others.
Yeah.
So, but what I wanted to talk about here was the whole angle of general contractor. So, you know, the last shows haven't really been general contractor oriented because general contractors require a more well-rounded skill set. And what I mean by that is that as a general contractor, you have to know about electrical, you have to know about plumbing, you have to know about heating, you have to know about the trades, you have to know how to coordinate things. You have to have a good working knowledge of what each trade is, represents, and brings to the table so that you can coordinate this circus in such a way that, for instance, if you're a general contractor, you're not going to have the electricians and the plumbers in the house at the exact same time. And basically, the electricians and plumber go to war about who's going to be in first because it's all about how you route things and how you get things from one place to another. And sometimes they're like, that plumber, he's always doing this to me. You know, he's putting his water lines or his drain lines where you're going to have a main power feed coming in or something like this. But basically what it requires is coordination.
Mm-hmm.
You have a meeting on the job site of the electrician and plumber and say, okay, who wants to go first? And when you work hourly like I do, my plumber's by the hour, my electrician's by the hour, we are a by the hour company, even though they're subs. You still have to coordinate the efforts of each person so that they accomplish the most amount that they possibly can because the customer's paying by the hour for them.
Yep.
And that your responsibility as a GC is to make sure that you create a work environment which maximizes their efficiency and their productivity. And that's kind of an interesting trick of GCs, is to not make your contractors frustrated.
Yeah.
So in general, the theme here I'm trying to promote is that general contracting requires a person. So let me give you the typical, like I'm the typical person. I started off doing landscaping work. I went to do finish work. I learned framing. I kept my eyes and my ears open. I started framing myself once I went out on my own for Ennis Construction and North Cape Design and Jay Tucker from New London. I went out on my own and in 2000, and I had hired employees, and I was like, but as a result of my exposure to all these different projects, you start seeing how to light a kitchen. You start seeing what the height of outlets in a garage should be. Like you just open your eyes to things.
Yeah.
And then what it does is it equips you later on to, when someone says, well, how high should this, you know, meter panel be off the ground? The answer is 5 feet, 5 feet. It's basically always 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kind of things that, like, the coordination level of a general contractor requires you to be exposed to all the different fields, even though New Hampshire doesn't have licensing for general contractors. I hope they never have licensing for general contractors. But the exposure that a general contractor chooses to accept has a direct bearing on his ability to perform his functions. And the better general contractors have a better working knowledge of all the trades in such a way that they can coordinate better.
Well, I can understand like why there's not licensure because if you're subcontracting out, you know, the electrician or the plumber, the people that are dealing with the codes, you know, for New Hampshire regulations or whatever. I mean, obviously, as long as you have a good grasp of what needs to be done and what's directed to do, then I think that would be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
The issue with licensing in New Hampshire is that it's one of those things where just because someone has a license, they seem to be accredited.
Yeah.
And New Hampshire is not like your normal bunch of birds. Mm-hmm. The people that live here, you know, we're the last ones to have, you know, to make Martin Luther King Day a day in our calendar. Like, we're the last ones. Like, we buck.
We do.
We buck just about every trend there is. We don't have a helmet law. Like, we
Seatbelt law.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, New Hampshire's, I love it. God bless us. I love it.
Yeah.
But we're kind of an odd bird. And so,
yeah,
compared to the rest of the country.
It
and
is
so
true.
There is an individuality and there is a branding that we hold as a badge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool. So when it comes to licensing general contractors, believe me, there are some bad apples out there that take a deposit and you never see them again.
Right.
And there's some bad operators out there. The mm-hmm. key to us as New Hampshireites is that you have to do your homework. The responsibility is each individual person has to do their homework. They have to find references. They have to do it old school. You don't go to Angie's List or Angie and like choose a contractor based on the number of 5-star reviews because you don't know if those reviews are polluted.
I always get so nervous on sites like that just because.
Well, I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like people put way too much credence into what those sites offer. Cause I mean, like, I'm not saying they're like necessarily terrible, but like you said, I mean, if you're basing this on reviews and stuff, I mean, it's one thing if it has, you know, like 1,000, 2,000 reviews and there's just job after job. A lot of those sites or a lot of the, you know, the people on places like Angie's List, you know, you'll have like 2 or 3 reviews. And I don't feel like that's really an overly accurate representation of what the company is all about.
Right.
You know, and you know, usually the people that leave reviews, I feel like you're either like polarized, either incredibly happy or incredibly disappointed.
I just don't trust it. I don't trust that you don't have nefarious people out there creating either a positive or negative hype about somebody.
Well, case in point, so like with the Google ratings.
Yeah.
So WNTK I think has like a 3.0 rating out of 5.
Okay, out of 5, yeah.
And there's 3 ratings, one's a 5, and then the other 2 were made by the same woman that coincidentally lived under our studio in New London, and she didn't like the fact that we were loud.
Right.
So she
smear them.
Right. So she did a 1-star review saying this radio station's loud, which, I mean, it's a radio station, you know, we're in the business of audio, so it kind of makes sense that we're going to make noise. And then she created a second separate account to just reiterate her first opinion. So it's just kind of a case and show that you can't really rely on online ratings because, I mean, literally that just skewed the entire thing for us.
I mean, it's something that we've kind of become accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gives us a semblance of either comfort or discomfort in, say, going to a restaurant.
Yeah.
You got 17 people on there out of 100 that say they got sick. Well, there's a 17% chance you're probably going to get sick.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean,
well,
but that's the way we assimilate things and we process things. You know what I mean? So, but I do agree with you. I mean, a couple of years ago, we had a renter of an excavator up at the shop, rented a piece of equipment from us and decided to destroy it. And then I charged him, I don't know, it was like $11,000 to fix the thing.
Hmm.
And I had to take him to court. And he goes on Google and writes this smear campaign about, like,
right,
do not use George Newert because,
right, you know, because so I then, broke it and I had to pay for it.
Right. But then that smear campaign carries over into the construction company. Like somehow.
Yeah.
There's an unfairness that's going to be a common thread through both companies, and the centrist factor is this character George Neuer. It's not fair.
Oh no, not at all. No, and it's I mean, and again, that's another kind of negative of the online reviews like that is because the problem is they're so subjective. It's not based on any metric. It's just based on people's personal feelings. So if someone just has a bad day
and goes
to a restaurant,
they let somebody have it.
Yeah, it's like just they just go off on someone and. You know, just call him an idiot and
happens. Okay, so getting back to the theme of the trades. General contracting trade is it's necessary to be much more diverse in your exposure to the characters that are doing it, the businesses that are doing it, and also your abilities. For instance, how do you light a kitchen? You know, in a kitchen, there's general lighting, there's specific lighting, and there's task lighting. So general lighting gets you into the room. Specific lighting could be, say, a single can that's over a sink, say the can that's directly over a kitchen sink. And then there's task lighting, which could be like under cabinet lighting for making bread or preparing dinner. So, you know, the three basic facets of lighting a kitchen are, how do you enter the kitchen? Where's your switching? Where is your specific lighting? Say, for instance, you have pendants over an island.
Yeah.
That is specific lighting. And then you have task lighting. So if you just keep your eyes open to projects that you're doing or projects that you've done, or even more importantly, other people's projects, you can get a pretty good handle on how to do things in a general sense.
Yeah.
And so over the years, I've kind of developed a way to look at the electrical, look at the plumbing, look at the heating, look at the AC, and say, how do we want to do this in such a way that is in line with reading the landscape of the customer in such a way as to, okay, does the customer have a lot of furniture that goes up against the wall? Well, that's going to get you thinking about whether or not you want baseboard heat on a wall or whether you want staple up like radiant heat in the floor. Like sometimes you just have to read the landscape of the customer and get to know them and say, how are we going to tailor? I mean, a custom project is what we specialize in, custom homes. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get feedback from the customer. You have to be receptive. In other words, what I'm saying is the general contractor atmosphere is you are so much more exposed to all the different facets of the project, but you're also exposed to the liability of all these different trades. Mm-hmm. For instance, the drywaller did the drywall job and there was two outlets buried in a wall.
No.
And you just didn't catch it. And so your level of oversight exposes you to the errors of each subcontractor, and basically you're on the hook for it. So now you got to find the box with using a level, like because there's a hump in the wall. You got to find the box. You got to try to cut the box. Call the subcontractor back. There's probably going to be screw pops, and you have to refasten the drywall, and there's going to be painting and patching. And that's like, so, you know, whereas if you, as a general contractor, if it's on your radar that the drywall is hung and it's ready for taping, your job as the GC is to go through the job and realize where all the outlets, where all the switches are, making sure that they're punched through the drywall. You have a responsibility to make sure that the subcontractor is doing his job in accordance with the customer's wishes. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
No different from the customer chooses a 4-light bulb vanity Hollywood light over their vanity sink, and the subcontractor chooses a 3-light vanity. A 3-light Hollywood light. And you're like, no, I'm sorry. Or, you know, the big difference between vanity lengths is typically you can put 2 sinks in a 6-foot vanity. You can put 2 sinks in a 5-foot vanity, but your configuration has to be such that, for instance, in a 6-foot vanity, you can have the sinks closer to the center and you can have drawer bases on the outside. Whereas a 5-foot vanity, your sinks are going to be on the outside and you're going to have your drawer bases in the middle. It's just certain characteristics of certain things that you have to be, okay, what makes sense in this situation or what makes sense in that situation? And it involves asking a lot of questions. You can only ask the questions if you have a familiarity with your customer and you have a knowledge, a basic working knowledge of what's going to work better and what isn't. I don't tell my lawyer customers how to lawyer.
Right.
I don't tell, you know, Mr. Bennett how to advise people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tell Susie Churchill how to write software.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to my forte, people are relying on you to say, okay, you're out there all the time. What is it you've seen? What's a popular trend?
Yeah.
Are white appliances back in? Are stainless steel appliances back in? Like, what's the best appliance?
Mm-hmm.
Like, seems to be a hot button topic is who makes the best appliance?
Right.
Because everything today is just throwaway. So I happen to have a customer that is the appliance guru, Scott and Sue Brown. They moved to Northern New Hampshire, but I have worked for them for 10 or 15 years. And over the years, I've been like, hey, Scott, you know,
yeah.
They teach online appliance repair courses, and they started off in their little Honda CRV driving around to different places, people fixing appliances. And mm-hmm. so they have a unbelievable working knowledge of how appliances are made, how long they last, what noises they make, and what is it when they make this certain noise.
Right.
What's the best appliances out there, which is Bosch.
Mm-hmm.
I just picked their brains.
Right.
Tell me about what you do. Tell me how what you do and what you know can benefit me so that I can advise my customers in such a way that says, you know what, you're really going to be happy with that Bosch washer. The realm of a GC requires a person to start in a certain place and expose themselves to the realm of everything construction oriented.
Yeah.
And so in my case, I also surround myself with people that are very knowledgeable and very smart. I mean, last week, my plumber, Sean Sleeper, and myself and two of my other guys were underneath a house ripping all the cast iron pipes out and replacing it with PVC. These were original cast iron pipes from 1920.
Wow.
And the crawl space was 30 inches tall in its maximum depth and like 18 inches narrow at its narrowest depth. And it was an absolute nightmare.
It sounds awful.
But we had fun.
Yeah.
We just had fun.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to.
Yeah, it's something different. I mean,
it's very different. Yeah. But, you know, from the standpoint of a young person saying, well, if I'm going to be a plumber, I don't ever, ever, ever want to be crawling downstairs with the mice and the spiders and all the creepies that mm-hmm. live in the dark. And it's just kind of like, I can honestly say it's probably one of the things I'm going to remember from the job the best
mm-hmm.
that's going to stand out the most, because we're all just a bunch of characters and
yeah.
we all just had fun dealing with a difficult situation in a really humorous way. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like a common theme.
Yeah.
So paramedics do it. Whenever the situation gets a little dicey, it's always nice to introduce some humor into it so that, you know, it just doesn't seem as mundane and mm-hmm. as difficult as it actually is. So GCing, general contracting, GCs is one of those things. Say, for instance, you wanted to go to Keene State College and get a degree in business. You wanted to get a degree in marketing. You wanted to get a degree in accounting. You know, you wanted to get a degree in some facet of the business that's really going to help.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I never did. I kind of like learned as I went.
Right.
So I just want to end the show with the idea that general contracting is what we have not touched on,
yep.
but it requires a more diverse person. And if a person's interested in being a general contractor or interested in any of the trades, the first thing that they should do is go work for a GC, go work for a general contractor,
mm-hmm.
and get yourself exposed to all the different trades. Maybe you like what you see with electrical, you like what you see with the plumbing, you like what you see with drywall or with painting or roofing, like you like it. If you're exposed to these things, you will have a better understanding and a better appreciation of something that might just strike a little chord in you and say, hey, maybe I want to try that or try this or try that. So next week's show is I want to talk about women in the workplace, because there's quite a substantial call for, it has been said to me recently that women do what they do because of a socioeconomic status that basically puts women in traditional roles and separates and segregates boys when we're young. Girls and boys do
different types of jobs.
Traditional, quote unquote, yeah. traditional things.
Yeah.
And what I want to encourage is women to be what they can be in a non-traditional way and become an electrician, become a plumber, and a lot of it's just exposure. If you can expose yourself to these things, maybe something lights up where you're like, hey, I want to try this or that.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
We need more women in the trades. We do. I'm a staunch advocate for, I have two women working in trusted rentals.
Yep.
And I have no women working in
the
construction company. And I'd love to see more diversity. I'd love it.
Definitely. If you have any questions, feel free to email Matt, M-A-T-T, @WMTK.com, and we'll talk about it on a future edition of the program. Otherwise, you can listen to previous episodes of this show online at WNTK.com on the podcast page, and we will talk to you again next Friday at 8:30 with News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR.